at 8 BBS Mobile. Turned on the Hall Road. You on your way in?
I am. A few minutes behind, but on my way in. Where are you turning off of Van Dyke right now?
Yeah, I just got off of 53.
Very cool. Are you all ready for next Friday?
I'm close. I just got my new hip belt with my lumbar pack. I got my new vest. I think the only thing I got to do now is buy tags.
Yeah, I got to get tags. I might do that today. And then I would like to get a nice vest, like a, you know, a blaze orange vest. I just have like a crap road work one or something like that I've probably had for 20 years from when I worked for the city of Mount Clemens. But yeah, a nice vest would be nice. But other than that, I bought so much new stuff last year, I don't need anything new.
When you get to the office, send me a text. I'll send you a 40% off Sika code and you can get a Sika one for $60.
Yeah, I'll totally do that. Hopefully, they have expedited shipping. It'll get here by next Friday, but that would be sweet.
Yeah, it'll probably ship, I would say either tomorrow or Monday, so you should have it just in the nick of time. I think mine came in like 3 or 4 days.
Do you upsize those? How do you buy those? Because you're wearing it over your jacket.
Yeah, I always, like, in Sika, I don't know, it depends. Like, if they have a 3X, I buy a 3X. If they have 2X, and it only goes up to 2X, 2X fits me. Like, I don't really know how their sizing works, but I bought my vest in a 3X because I figured it's an outer layer. It's going over everything else. But I also wear all of the Sika systems, so, like, I'm not super, like, the abominable snowman out there. And, like, if it gets real cold, I put on a heated vest. So I never have that much bulk, but yeah, it should fit fine. So I would order your normal size. It's meant to go on the outside of your clothing.
All right, what size shirt or hoodie do you usually buy? 1 or 2X?
If you're talking about their street clothes, that's the crappy thing. I can't wear them. Like, their 2X stuff, like, it's like a belly shirt on me. It's way too snug. It's all slim fit. But, like, my waterfall stuff's all 2X, and then, like, some of my subalpine deer stuff is, like, 3X, but most of it's 2X, and it fits totally fine. Like, I bought a 2X Equinox Guard hoodie that's huge, and then I have a 3X jacket that fits perfectly. Like, I don't really know. It's one of those things you kind of got to look at the website and then, like, see how their sizing is cut, because some of it's, like, athletic and performance fit, and then some of it's, like, you know, an outer layer fit.
Gotcha. But if you just went into the store and bought off the rack, would you get a 1 or 2?
Oh, okay. No, I'd probably a 3X. Like, I'm wearing a 3X hoodie right now. It's big on me, but if it's cotton, it all shrinks. So I'm between a 2X and a 3X.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. That just gives me a little bit of reference on where, like, you bought the 3. And so, because right now, unfortunately, I'm between a 1 and a 2, so maybe I'll just pick up the 2.
Let's put it this way. My sport coats are 52 regular.
Okay. I can't remember what mine are, but I gotcha. I'll look at mine and see.
just shoot me a text to remind me. I've got a bunch of them. Well, not a bunch of them, but a couple left. And I'll send you one. And I think, dude, I'm pretty sure it applies to your whole order. So go nuts, get whatever you want.
Maybe I will. We'll see. Just what I didn't eat today. But I'll remember to send you a text. I had to send you a photo. A couple of my buddies are out in Montana elk hunting right now, and one of the guys got one yesterday. And man, those things are epic. It's a pretty sweet animal, and I can't imagine what it's like to get one.
Good for that, man. That's a hunt I need to get on at some point in my life, but that's the best venison you're going to eat, that's for sure.
Oh, man, it is delicious. I can't wait for it to get home. I know I'll be able to get invited over for some elk steaks and whatever else. I can't wait. Hopefully I'll get a little handout. We'll see what happens.
Oh, he'll have plenty of it. I'm sure he's going to share. My buddy goes and shoots one every other year, every third year. And he just goes and shoots cows. But, he comes home with a ton of meat. So he's always like, do you want some? I'm like, well, I have two deer in my freezer still, but sure.
Yeah, there was four guys that went. I don't know if anybody else got one, so I think they always have an unwritten deal that whatever between the four of them they get, it's split up equally. So there's still going to be a lot of meat, but they split it four ways, and it dwindles quickly when you do that.
Yeah, that's true. If you strike out or you don't have any luck this year, let me know. I'm probably going to buy, maybe five or six antlerless tags. I gotta do some cleanup at my buddy's farm for some herd management, so I'll be laying down plenty of those, and I need to find places to send them for, I don't want to waste them, obviously, but we got to send the herd out. So if you or anyone you know needs some meat, I'll have plenty.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I know one of my buddies doesn't hunt, and he likes to acquire venison, so he usually has a guy at work that hooks him up. I'll see if that guy's still hooking him up, and I'll let you know.
Right on. All right, man. Well, I just backed into my spot. I got to get in here. I got to go down to Little Caesars today to do some work and start my day. Yay. But shoot me a text. I'll get you that code. I'll be clear up here. NADBF.
Good talking this morning, Dakota. K8RUH. I will be monitoring.
What's the name of that gear you're talking about?
You're referring to the hunting clothing. It's called Sitka. It's a higher-end hunting gear. They're performance fabrics and really good stuff. A lot of Gore-Tex, very durable.
How's that spelled?
S-T-I-K-A, I believe.
Roger. Okay. I'm going to look it up. Sounds interesting. Anywho, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, when you look it up, you're going to have some sticker shock, so be ready.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when you were talking about it, I was thinking in motorcycling, there's a company called Aerostitch. Same thing. Go look that up.
Yeah, when you, it's like any other hobby, right? When you get super into the details, the stuff gets real expensive, but it just works. You don't have to worry about it. The warranties back it up. It's all the things, But usually, in the long run, if it's a hobby you're sticking with, it's worth your time and money to invest.
Oh, no, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I've always buy once, cry once. And in most things, very rarely going for the good enough stuff.
Yeah, I feel like I do a lot of crying, but I don't do a lot of replacing, which is a good thing, you know. Like you said, you buy once, you cry once. You have your gear for 15, 20 years, and you replace it. I just had that happen this year on a fishing trip. I broke a fly fishing rod on a fish, and I started doing the math and realized that I have had that fishing rod for probably 15 years. And the year before, I had a pair of waders give out on me and realized that I had had those for 12. And it's like, man, the lifespan of this stuff has to end sooner or later. So getting my use out of it and need to move on and reinvest if I'm going to continue the hobby.
Oh, yeah. No, it sounds good. No, I'll check it out, take a peek. Not, I haven't been getting out at all in recent years. I don't know. I keep meaning to, but I don't know. So, just got old, stopped going, lost all my contacts. It'd just be a big pain in the ass now. But sometimes I just kind of like, you know, I not sometimes, but I often miss it quite a bit.
Yeah, I hunted a little bit in my early 20s with some buddies, and then probably, like, I think I remember you talking about, you know, it got a little weird with property ownership and all this stuff, and then just last year, one of my buddies bought a house on a decent amount of land that we can hunt and got back into it and, you know, bought some stuff, bought a new deer hunting rifle and got the setup back going, and here we are, year two. Hopefully I get something this year, though.
Yep, same thing. Was, you know, was going for those young, you know, my teens. Yeah, like I was telling you before, there was a property we found up near Algier, about 100 acres, and went there for quite a few years, and then that kind of broke down. And then there was a deer camp I was going to for many more years after that in St. Helens. That one was in the woods. Did a couple of Kalkaskas and some others in between, trying to find, you know, a new deer camp. And then St. Helens all broke up, and some of the guys, you know, went to the UP, way extreme western UP, and I almost decided to follow the crew, you know, and up there, but I didn't. You know, my kids were really young, and just getting away for a weekend was about all I could do, and that did a little bit with my father-in-law. He had a place down in Hillsdale Farm, and did a little down there. That was the best hunting down there. Boy, them deer were corn-fed. And then I just kind of like, you know, got out. It was just a hassle, and I didn't have any solid place to go. So next thing you know, 10, 20 years passed. I haven't been hunting in, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, it can happen real easily. But, you know, the Western UP, though, holy moly, that's a big time investment. You know, I guess if you were taking a week and a half, 2 weeks, because, man, what probably to get to that deer camp, it was 12, 14 hours. Either way, you went around the lake, most likely. So, yeah, that's a bit much of a time investment for anything shorter than, like, a week or a week and a half.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest reason I didn't follow them up there. I just
wasn't going to invest that kind of effort and time into it. And you got to remember, back then, this was mostly in the 80s, the deer population wasn't back yet. And there was some years you'd go up there, and you'd be lucky if a couple of guys, you know. I mean, there were some areas that were producing Hillsdale and down there, and the farms was always very productive. But you know, going up north, which is what I always did, man, there were a lot of years you'd go and two guys would get something out of the, you know, the 6-8 guys up there. It could be quite annoying sometimes in the dry years.
I can imagine, and I would imagine also my estimation on time was longer because back then the speed limit was 55, so it probably took a lot longer to get up there.
Well, you were spot on. Yeah, it was just over 12, you know, to get to that camp, and it was like, yeah, I don't know. And not to mention, sometimes it could be quite treacherous, I'm told. I never went, but, you know, although snow hasn't been, you know, a big thing lately up there in Bend, man, I'll tell you what, you'd have, you know, 5 foot of snow on the ground sometimes.
Yeah, I think in the last 5 years there was, Western UP got, I don't know, it was like 3 feet of snow in November. So, I mean, it happens, and I'm sure it used to happen more regularly back then, but, I would imagine it was quite the undertaking some years to get up there, let alone get out. You could just get snowed in, and, you know, it could be up there an extra week.
Yeah, well, like I said, I never partook in that camp. The invitation was always there, but it just never manifest for me. And that was kind of like, okay, I'm out. So, anywho, on the way to work, I'm Grossek here, just trying to decide whether I got to make my Starbucks stop or not. I haven't been there in a few, several days, so. I don't know.
Yeah, I was wondering where you've been. I called up the last few days and figured maybe you were off work or out of town or something.
Well, I had Monday and Tuesday off, so yesterday was my first day back, and I didn't have my car for the ride in because I left my car at work because there was a guy, I had a guy in training the week before, and I let him take my vehicle. And so somebody picked me up and brought me in. So I didn't have my radio on the way into work yesterday. So today is my first day on the way into work with my radio since early last week.
That would make sense. I think the last time I talked to you was last Thursday, and actually I was texting with Dakota yesterday. I was like, man, have you heard anybody talking lately? And he's like, no. And so we connected this morning, obviously, and then I said, Sean must be on vacation because I haven't heard from him, and he's always on.
Yeah, like I said, had some days off, so I wasn't up for the drive time or on the radio or whatever. But yesterday I got a ride in the work. So today is the maiden voyage in. Yeah, I didn't want the guys taking the work trucks to Lansing. And we had a short staff here, but two of them opted to take their own vehicles and just put in for mileage, but the third one wanted to take one of the shop vehicles, so I just thought mine would have been a better, mine's a Escape, and I think you've seen it. Anyhow, it's a Escape, and doesn't, you know, it's not loaded up with test equipment and all that stuff, so I said, you know what, take mine. And I could have, you know, just
shuttled one of the work vans back and forth, but I just figured, nah, I'll just drive my car. But, yep, anyhow, Starbucks it is. So you're going for firearm deer? Is everywhere where you're going to go?
I am pretty lucky. I got some buddies that are in northern Macomb County that have property to hunt three different spots, and one of them lives adjacent to his grandparents, who have 90 acres that he has access to hunt. So I'll just be in northern Macomb County, which makes it easy. You know, I have Friday and Monday off next week, and, you know, it's 25, 30 minutes from home, so if something's happening at home midday, I can run home. But, you know, it's, to me, I enjoy sitting there and would love to get something, but it's more of, you know, I get 4 days to hang out with my buddies, so it's cool. I enjoy it.
Very cool. Yeah, no, that's good stuff. And northern Macomb County, they're probably going to be good corn-fed bucks, so that's going to be, should have good Boone and Crockett and nice meaty corn-fed. Yeah, heck yeah.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. I was telling Dakota, one of the guys that I'll be hanging out with next weekend. Well, actually, three of them, but one of them got one. They're in Montana elk hunting right now, and one of the guys got a big bull elk. It was pretty cool. I got the picture in the middle of the night last night.
I have never had elk, but I don't know anybody that's elk hunted, so... Interesting.
It is absolutely delicious. It is probably, and I haven't tried a lot because I'm not an adventurous eater, but it is definitely my favorite wild game that...
Better than possum?
Well, I forgot about possum. That's negotiable.
That's interesting. It's, I did not know that. Well, very cool. You going to get you some of that?
I am absolutely hoping I am on the receiving end of some elk. That would be very nice. I'm heading to drive-through, going through. I'll be back in a second.
I was just going to say, going through the drive-through. WNFU.
Hey, Sean, did you get my message about your node, 48,000?
Sorry about that. I was going through the drive-through. What was that about the node?
And your node kept on reconnecting, and then it would key up for like 30 seconds. And then your node would disconnect, and then maybe a minute or two later it would reconnect, and then it would keep on just keying up for 30 seconds. I sent you a message, but it just kept on doing that, so I had to block it.
Okay. Have to check it out when I get home.
Yeah, just letting you know. I'll unblock it once you figure it out. It's just kind of like, you know, it was keying up over Gary and stuff. Funny.
I wonder if it's not doing it now. I put together a third node last night, and I was playing with it. had no RF. I was just experimenting with a ASL3 on 2W, and I was pretty engrossed in that. I was trying to get some, trying to get a little UPS working with the additional software and stuff and the web interface, and that would have been. I wonder if that was somehow interfering. That was weird.
Yeah, the weird thing is, like, it only happened when somebody was talking. Like, it was, like, somebody would talk, and then your node would want to, like, key up or something like that. And then, you know, because I'm on duplex, I would key up for a moment. And as long as I was keyed up, your node would stay keyed up. But then the moment I let go, both me and your node stopped transmitting. So I don't know. It was weird. But I'll put it back and see if it's still doing it or not. I figured you were testing something or whatever, and you were busy doing stuff. But after I take a shower here, I'll unblock it. I got the irrigation people coming, so I gotta rush and use the water before they shut it off.
Well, I'm not there to deal with it if it is, so I could wait till this evening when I'm home. You know, unless you want to try it and untry it, but I won't be there to deal with it. It's a problem.
Yeah, no big deal. If it starts doing it again, I'll just block it till you get home.
Okay, well, let me know if you enable it and there's no harm, no foul. Then I'm gonna investigate why this little one I'm playing with might have caused some trouble. It was 48,000 even, not 48,100.
Yeah, it was your duplex node, 48,000. So I'm wondering if while you were testing, maybe I was getting some inner mods from the other thing that you were using. Because it's, I don't know, it's possible. I don't know. It's all this is guesses.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. No, the reason I ask is because I've got the test unit and 48,100 with me today. So, but if it wasn't 48,100, then this combination likely won't produce any problems. So, anywho, could just need an enema. Just go in there and reboot it or something. Okie doke. Good to know. Be nice to figure out what the hell was going on.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know if you didn't wonder why it's not connecting and all that stuff. So I just wanted to, you know how it is. Like, why isn't it connecting?
Yeah, of course, what would happen is I'd go and, like, I'd decide to work on that node or something like that, you know, or do something. And then I'd do that, and then I would assume it was something I did. It never fails. It works like that. I think that happened last time I was putzing around with something, and there was some sort of an outage, and I'm like, I forget what it was now, but I'm like, you know, what the hell did I do wrong? It turns out it was just some sort of an outage.
Yeah, you remember my other note. My note used to do that for a bit. It would just key up randomly. Then we found out it was the digital hotspot next to it that was screwing around with it.
Yeah, that's the problem with, you know, you get all these nodes and, you know, they're all just, you know, spraying RF all over. You know, and they use those little 818 modules, which aren't the cleanest little things. Now, some, you know, a lot of guys are putting some transmit filters in them, and it helps, but still doesn't change that they're a cheap Chinese transmitter. So, you know, you get a couple of them together, and you know, in the same vicinity, and they start duking it out.
Yeah, it's usually a function of power, and if they have a filter or not. Yeah. Shari has a filter. The hotspot radio dongle has a filter on it. But if it's close enough, I imagine that it's going to get the RF before the filter because it's close to the unit.
Yep. Well, it's the price we pay. So the only reason this third node, it's I forget what number it is, but it was my old. It's the same. I got two Sharis that are on these node numbers, and you know, these are alternatives. One of them is the new Clear Zero. That's on my 3B plus zero or Shari node number, and then I've got this one I'm playing with, which doesn't have any RF at all, and it's really just I needed a platform to play around with this little UPS, this little Pi Sugar. This Pi Sugar has a web UI that you add to the OS and some other stuff, and it's got, you know, it's got a button so you could do a function on the GPIO pins, and I wanted to kind of like play with all that, so I six one half dozen the other. I just said, you know what, ASL3 is probably as good as anything, and likely the place I'd want to use it, so that's what I'll do. So I set up another one on one of my other nodes. So. All right, I'm just pulling in here to the shop. I will listen to your final and then get inside and see how my day is going to start.
All right, timing. I got to start managing the irrigation people and the, what do you call it? Yeah, I know I have delivery coming today. Never stop. Talk to you later. KFADA.
I just wish I would know what to do with this after attack receiver on my passenger floor while I drive around Mount Clemens.
Oh, I didn't know you were in Mount Clemens. I was going to say you could bring it when you guys come to do Richmond, but you're in Mount Clemens. I'm in Mount Clemens. I know what you can do with it.
Yeah, right now I'm at Factory Zero, getting unloaded, and then I gotta go to Chesterfield and get unloaded again, and then back to Mount Clemens.
All right. Well, let me know when you're near the shop, and I can. I know it's not easy for you to swing by here. You're welcome. If we got plenty of room for a semi, but if you want me to cruise to you, let me know. I'll do that.
It'd probably be the best. All right, I'll let you know. Give it up over here.
All right, got to get inside. I'll be right at you. I know there's a hole running around here, so I just figured I better have the volume up.
Isn't he always running around the state normally? Yeah, I thought he was always running around the state. Although I don't see his little load on. Usually he's got a little truck load in the truck hooked up, but I don't see it connected here.
I don't know, he might be on the repeaters directly. He's down here. So he was, he's in and around this area here and looking to coordinate, so.
Oh my. Well, I decided, I only have 8 hours left till I hit my quota for the day, or week, so it's like, I slept in a little. I mean, you know, 9 o'clock, that's sleeping in for me. Or getting up early is what I usually think. Alright, I've read everybody's emails for the morning. Feel more informed.
There you go. I am trying to craft a mission statement. Thank you, ChatGPT.
I was going to say, everybody's just using the ChatGPT to write everything now anyways.
We're already one of the stupidest places on the face of the planet. Why not get us more stupid? You know, we can't hardly remember a telephone number. People can hardly, but you know, one thing's nice, at least I don't have to read people that just are illiterate. Well, if they put any concern or thought into it at all, there's enough tools now, there's almost no excuse to be an idiot in prose, but yet they're still there.
We had a contact us message come into one of the newspapers on the west side yesterday. It stated, and it was all in caps, okay, their name, blank, phone number, blank, email, fu@fu.com, and then the message says, stop, in all caps, stop sending out shoppers in mail. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. This is the stupidest thing you've ever done. Exclamation, explanation, explanation. Nobody reads your trash, and it's a waste of paper, and you're killing trees. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. Oh, okay. Thank you.
I'm a little upset they stole my email address.
I did think of you when I saw it.
Wonder if I can get that one. Hey, do you know anyone that has cambrium parts? I need to come up with a POE injector for a cambrium, but I think it's a Motorola branded one. You got any sources for crap like that?
Depending upon what model backhaul, yes. I had some in a box, but I think I left the box in the shed up north. So, I don't know if I have any down here. Paul might have some, but just again, it depends on the model. I know there was some on the wall. Actually, you know what, we got some on the wall in some of the old PTP cambium PGP 400 power supplies, which I think are the same as a couple different models, on the wall in Flint 6 that we could probably grab if you need, need something.
MCC line 1, I'll be back. WFSM.
WFSM.
Ho?
I was looking for
3, I'm Seaman 1.
Oh, I don't have my radio. I left it at home today. First time in forever. I never leave my radio at home. Today I did.
All right. I just told him.
Hold on. I'll go grab Paul's radio.
Okay, because he was looking for you, and I told him you were on the phone. N1KRD.
KF8S. WHDAT. WHDAT. WHDAT.
Hey, you get one.
K8RUH mobile.
KE8TFM.
ST308, radio check. WSFT308, frequency clear.
KBODCO, KB0DCO, this is Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Tango Papa. You out there, Tom? KE8ZTP clear.
This is N8MJN, mobile listening.
N8MJN mobile, this is KE8ZTP, do you read me?
KE8ZTP, yeah, you're coming in pretty good. Just driving around for a minute, figured I'd throw my call sign out there.
I'm just in the living room scanning channels and trying to see if my buddy in Minnesota is on the line on this repeater. I guess he's not out there yet.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're making it into the Warren repeater. I don't know which repeater you're trying to come in, but I'm on the K8FBI. I don't remember the frequency of it. I just programmed it as the call sign. So the Warren repeater is where I'm picking you up.
I'm hitting you from the Flint UHF W8CMN repeater.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that one linked up to this network. This one's also hooked up to the Mount Clemens repeater and another repeater in Romeo somewhere. So, all right, great to hear you, 73. Hopefully your friend gets on here. Take care. N8MJN, I'll be clear.
K8GTP, clear but monitoring.